One of the hotel maids, a pretty, fair-haired woman of about 25, comes from the hotel rather furtively. She accosts Ridgeon.
I beg your pardon, sir.
Huh?
I beg pardon, sir. It's not about the hotel. I'm not allowed to be on the terrace. And I should be discharged if I were seen speaking to you, unless you were kind enough to say you called me to ask whether the motor has come back from the station yet.
Has it?
Yes, sir.
Well, what do you want?
Would you mind, sir, giving me the address of the gentleman that was with you at dinner?
Yes, of course I should mind very much. You have no right to ask.
Yes, sir. I know it looks like that, but what am I to do?
What's the matter with you?
Nothing, sir. I want the address, that's all.
You mean the young gentleman?
Yes, sir. That went to catch the train with the woman he brought with him.
The woman? Do you mean the lady who dined here? The gentleman's wife?
Don't believe them, sir. She can't be his wife. I'm his wife.
You his wife?
Oh, this is getting to be perfectly fascinating, Richard.
I could run upstairs and get you my marriage license in a minute, sir, if you doubt my word. He's Mr. Louis Dubida, isn't he?
Yes.
Well, sir, you may believe me or not, but I'm the lawful Mrs. Dubida.
And why aren't you living with your husband?
We couldn't afford it, sir. I had £30 saved, and we spent it all on our honeymoon in 3 weeks, and a lot more that he borrowed. Then I had to go back into service, and he went to London to get work at his drawing, and he never wrote me a line or sent me an address. I never saw nor heard of him again until I caught sight of him from the window going off in the motor with that woman.
Well, that's two wives to start with.
Now, upon my soul, I don't want to be uncharitable, but really, I'm beginning to suspect that our young friend is rather careless.
Beginning to think? How long will it take you, ma'am, to find out that he's a damned young blackguard?
Oh, that's severe, Sir Patrick, very severe. Of course, it's bigamy, but still, he's very young, and she's very pretty. Mr. Walpole, may I sponge on you for another of those nice cigarettes of yours?
Certainly.
Walpole feels in his pockets.
Father, where? Say, I recollect now. I passed my cigarette case to Dubida, and he didn't return it. It was a gold one.
He didn't mean any harm. He never thinks about things like that, sir. I'll get it back for you, sir, if you'll tell me where to find him.
What am I to do? Shall I give her the address or not?
Give her your own address, and then we'll see. You'll have to be content with that for the present, my girl.
Ridgeon gives her his card.
What's your name?
Minnie Tinwill, sir.
Well, you write him a letter in care of this gentleman, and it will be sent on. Now, be off with you.
Thank you, sir. I'm sure you wouldn't see me wronged. Thank you all, gentlemen, and excuse the liberty.
She goes into the hotel. They watch her in silence.
Do you realize, chaps, that we have promised Mrs. Dubida to save this fellow's life?
Well, what's the matter with him?
Tuberculosis.
And you can cure that?
I believe so.
Well, then I wish you'd cure me. My right lung is touched, I'm sorry to say.
Your lung is going?
My dear Blenkinsop, what do you tell me?
What's that?
You mustn't neglect this, you know.
Oh, no, it's no use. I know what you're going to say. I've said it often to others. I can't afford to take care of myself. And there's an end of it. If a fortnight's holiday would save my life, I'd have to die. I shall get on as others have to get on. We can't all go to St. Moritz or to Egypt, you know, Sir Ralph. Don't talk about it.
I must go. It's been a very pleasant evening, Collie. You might let me have my portrait, if you don't mind. I'll send Mr. Dubida that couple of sovereigns for it.
Ridgeon gives Schutzmacher the menu card.
Oh, don't do that, Looney. I don't think he'd like that.
Well, of course I shouldn't if you feel that way about it, but I don't think you understand Dubida. Good night, Dr. Blenkinsop.
Good night, sir. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Schutzmacher goes out.
It's time for us all to move. Mr. Walpole, take Blenkinsop home. He's had enough of the open-air cure for tonight. Have you a thick overcoat to wear in the motor, Dr. Blenkinsop?
Oh, they'll give me some brown paper in the hotel. A few thicknesses of brown paper across the chest are better than any fur coat.
Well, come along. Good night, Collie. You're coming with us, aren't you, Bonington?
Yes, I'm coming.
Walpole and Blenkinsop go into the hotel.
Good night, my dear Ridgeon. Don't let us lose sight of your interesting patient and his very charming wife. We must not judge him too hastily, you know. Good night, Paddy. Bless you, dear old chap. Good night.
Ridgeon and Sir Patrick are left alone together.
Well, Mr. Savior of Lives, Which is it to be? That honest, decent man, Blenkinsop, or that rotten blackguard of an artist, eh?
It's not an easy case to judge, is it? Blenkinsop's an honest, decent man. But is he any use? Dubedat's a rotten blackguard, but he's a genuine source of pretty and pleasant and good things.
What will he be a source of for that poor innocent wife of his when she finds him out?
That's true. Her life will be a hell.
And tell me this. Suppose you have the choice put before you. Either to go through life and find all the pictures bad, but all the men and women good. Or to go through life and find all the pictures good and all the men and women rotten. Which would you choose?
That's a devilishly difficult question, Patty. The pictures are so agreeable, and the good people so infernally disagreeable and mischievous, that I really can't undertake to say offhand which I should prefer to do without.
Come, come. None of your cleverness with me. I'm too old for it. Blenkinsop isn't that sort of good man, and you know it.
It would be simpler if Blenkinsop could paint Dubedat's pictures.
It would be simpler still if Dubedat had some of Blenkinsop's honesty. The world isn't going to be made simple for you, my lad. You must take it as it is. You've got to hold the scales between Blenkinsop and Dubedat. Hold them fairly.
Well, I'll be as fair as I can. I'll put into one scale all the pounds Dubedat has borrowed, and into the other, all the half-crowns that Blenkinsop hasn't borrowed.
And you'll take out of Dubedat's scale all the faith he has destroyed, and the honor he has lost. And you'll put into Blenkinsop's scale all the faith he has justified and the honor he has created.
Oh, come, Patty. None of your claptrap with me. I'm too skeptical for it. I'm not at all convinced that the world wouldn't be a better world if everybody behaved as Dubedat does than it is now that everybody behaves as Blenkinsop does.
Then why don't you behave as Dubedat does?
That beats me. That's the experimental test. Still, it's a dilemma. It's a dilemma. You see, there's a complication we haven't mentioned.
What's that?
Well, if I let Blenkinsop die, at least nobody can say I did it because I wanted to marry his widow.
Yeah, what's that?
Now, if I let Dubedat die, I'll marry his widow.
Perhaps she won't have you, you know?
I've a pretty good flair for that sort of thing. I know when a woman is interested in me. She is.
Well, sometimes a man knows best, and sometimes he knows worse. You'd much better cure them both.
I can't. I'm at my limit. I can squeeze in one more case, but not two. I must choose.
Well, you must choose as if she didn't exist. That's clear.
Is that clear to you? It's not clear to me. She troubles my judgment.
To me, yeah, it's a plain choice between a man and a lot of pictures.
It's easier to replace a dead man than a good picture.
Collie, when you live in an age that runs to pictures, statues, and plays and brass bands because its men and women are not good enough to comfort its poor aching soul, you should thank Providence that you belong to a profession which is a high and great profession because its business is to heal and mend men and women.
In short, as a member of a high and great profession, I'm to kill my patient.
Don't talk wicked nonsense. You can't kill him, but you can leave him in other hands.
In Bonington's, for instance, huh?
Sir Ralph Bloomfield Bonington is a very eminent physician.
He is.
I'm going for my hat.
Ridgeon strikes the bell as Sir Patrick makes for the hotel. A waiter comes.
My bill, please.
Yes, sir.
The waiter goes for the bill.